Well, hello, everyone. We've had a little bit of confusion just now. The studio was blocked for us, but now we are on the air. So here we go. This is the New American Dream Radio Show. And as usual, I'm going to start off with a song. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down. A time to dance, a time to mourn. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to rend, a time to serve, a time for love, a time for hate, a time for peace. I swear it's not too late. I sang that in honor of Roger McGuinn, lead singer of the Byrds, who had a birthday yesterday. The song was written by Pete Seeger with most of the text coming from the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And I'm proud now to welcome my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, hello. Chuck. Tonight we welcome special guests Thomas Wertman, Susan Lindauer, Frank Cordero, Jim Fetzer, Richard Flamer, and Phil Ferruggio. And so tonight we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Port Orange, Cleveland, Des Moines, in northern Minnesota, in Fort Lauderdale, in Madison, in Tacoma Park, and wherever you are. Someone has said that the current American presidential election is a reality TV show disguised as an election, and that might not be far off. Hillary Clinton and company stole the election by vote fraud, and now Sanders says, hey, it's okay. He does not fight, just like Kerry and just like Gore. Very strange. The aide, Karl Rove, said that guys like me were in what we call the reality-based community, which he defined as people who believe that solutions emerge from your judicious study of discernible reality. I nodded and murmured something about enlightenment principles and empiricism. He cut me off. That's not the way the world really works anymore, he continued. We're in an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality judiciously, as you will, we'll act again, creating other new realities, which you can study too, and that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors, and you, all of you, will be left to just study what we do. And that's Ron Suskind of the New York Times Magazine talking about a conversation he had with Karl Rove. If you are interested, you can go to YouTube and find people saying that the Minneapolis and Dallas shootings are fake. It's important to do that. Because of where we live, what we have lived through, because we are not idiots, we must begin by doubting the official story. Because we cannot trust the journalists on our TVs and in our newspapers, we just can't. That's a fact of life in the United States. Maybe Philando Castile was shot and died. Maybe that's not what happened at all. Maybe the police officers in Dallas were shot and died. Maybe they did not. But, and this is a vitally important but, for the country will cease to exist without this but. But you have to believe that it is possible you are being lied to. That is where we begin. Whenever one of these things happens, understand that it is possible we are being lied to. My recommendations, Information Clearinghouse, the Sanders sellout, and you got to see George W. Bush dancing at the funeral for the Dallas policeman and joined by the Obamas. And you just got to know that Bill and Hillary, watching from the Dairy Queen, were dancing right along with them. How much more proof do we need that this is just all one reality TV show? Also recommended Red Silver Jay and Team Wake 'Em Up. Also recommended Jill Stein. Jill Stein is important, but what's even more important is to become aware that the whole electoral system is corrupt and not to be trusted. Candidates are selected and not by us. If we had fair elections, Jill Stein would make a marvelous next president and would make such a positive change in America that she would be talked about for decades. But it cannot happen because the system is rigged. And so I think it is more important to not vote, to not participate, than it is to vote for Jill Stein. Operation Gladio. In order to begin to understand America in 2016, we need to understand Operation Gladio. There's plenty to read and watch on the web. Same with Operation Northwoods, if you are interested. And now a word from Carl Krebsbach, the mayor of Lake Wobegon. He's retired now, and so he thinks he can talk now. Sponsored by Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery. Mr. Mayor?
Yes, when we see on CNN the funerals of people they tell us have been murdered, our gut reaction is to believe that these people really lived and that they died in this fashion. Because, hey, for one thing, the big lie would not be possible because look how many people would have to be in on it. I know, right? And the reporters on TV and in the newspapers would not lie. Why would they do that? Oh, you're one of those, aren't you? I suppose we didn't go to the moon either. Well, hey, just a minute, Zeke. You're going to need to put that little American flag back into your pocket for a while because, for one thing, you've been waving it for every damn thing for too many years now. Yes, it's wrong to kill. It's terrible when people get killed and families suffer. But, well, here's the deal. We all might have been born at night, but it was not last night. We really do doubt if Philando Castillo was shot and killed, as the official story puts it, because we've lived through the lies of the John F. Kennedy assassination. We really do doubt if the Dallas policemen were killed at all, because we've lived through the murder and the cover-up lies of the murder of Robert F. Kennedy. And if there were Dallas policemen shot, we doubt it was a lone black gunman on the roof near Dealey Plaza, because we've studied Operation Gladio and Operation Northwoods, and we've studied the lies of the rooftop shooting that occurred during the Ukrainian demonstration. We doubt anything and everything that we see on our TVs, on CNN and Fox and NBC, ABC, CBS, National Public Radio, the Los Angeles Times, and the Poughkeepsie News Advertiser. Because we have lived through the lies of Aurora, Tucson, the Boston Marathon, Sandy Hook, the Wellstone assassination, Orlando, San Bernardino, and a dozen and more on top of that. And we also know about the FBI and CIA. We must go to the cartoon section to get some truth in America. There's a recent sketch that shows President Obama talking on the phone. Here's our problem. Everyone knows Hillary's guilty as hell and Comey's pass-on charges didn't convince anyone. Now the public's starting to look at the whole history of corruption, from Vince Foster to the Clinton Foundation. We're staring rebellion in the face. So let's take a page from COINTELPRO back in the 60s and trick the people into killing each other so they don't hang us. And so, well, we strive to become as knowledgeable about our government as the Soviet people were of theirs during the Cold War. Obama would never tell us the truth. We know that. He lied right to our faces on national television when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden buried at sea and Jessica Lynch rescued historically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there is a hole in there in that hole in a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. It went all the way into that hole and no, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered or plane parts, and Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid? Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. Like a horror movie. The killer is in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us. And they want us to be afraid. We are not afraid.
A commentary by Carl Krebsbach, the mayor of Lake Wobegon, sponsored by Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery. If we don't have it, you probably don't need it. Our first guest of the evening is Richard Flamer. Richard Flamer usually comes to us from his home in Chiapas, Mexico at the Chiapas Catholic Worker, but I believe that Richard is traveling in the U.S., and I think we're going to talk to him from Des Moines. And sorry about, we'll have to apologize ahead of time that we're about 5 minutes late on this, but it couldn't be helped. So Chuck will be getting Richard on the line right about now.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 402-913-4326 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Well, we're going to try that again. He should be expecting us. After he was expecting us 5 minutes ago, but that shouldn't have changed anything.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 40291.
Well, Mike, I don't know what to say. If you want to talk a little bit, I will see if I can get hold of him some other way.
Do you have another number you can call? Or probably not, huh?
No, not really.
Oh. Okay. Well, yeah, just do what you can. Yeah, I can go on it to maybe talk a little bit more about the Minnesota and Dallas shootings. Not that I know a lot more than anybody else does, but I've been studying YouTube, and just like everybody, and I would have to say that all I can say is what I've said earlier in the commentary is that I think it's most important to at least to realize that the possibility is that they can be fake, are fake. We can't believe just because it's on CNN, just because it's on the TV, just because it's in the newspaper, that it's true. And that's what I believe. I think that to become a real American, the new American dream, it means never having, you know, any question is not wrong. And that's we've held to that the whole way through. And that we can ask any question, and my question would be to whether these shootings are faked. Of course, you know, especially the Philando Castile shooting, it goes to the Facebook video. And I would have to say that, you know, whenever I see something like this, I usually don't doubt. I usually just, that happened. And I think that's a pretty American response to anything, is that it, we just believe that it happened. But when after you look at it again, the girlfriend was so calm, and I don't see supposedly a daughter in the back. She wasn't screaming. She wasn't visible. And I think that, as we said, because we've lived through all these things, because we lived through the 60s and we've lived through all Sandy Hook and Boston, I don't see how we can just say, okay, that's real. We're going to believe that. I don't think so. I think, you know, I do know that the only place you can go to get an alternative viewpoint is on the internet. You have to go to YouTube. There's many, many videos out there. And of course, anybody would say, well, you can't believe those guys. Well, I don't know. I think maybe we can believe some of them. I mean, I know, you know, I don't know. I would say we can't believe those guys about the New York Times. I would say that about any TV news we have. You can't believe those guys, and we know that from history. We know that nobody died at Sandy Hook. We know that Boston was a fake, and you know, after a while, I mean, it gets to be, well, isn't there a pattern here, and aren't we ever going to, you know, take control of our lives? I liken it a lot to the Soviet Union, and that's what we say in our intro. It's an American-Russian novel. All we need is more vodka radio hour, because it's just like the. I think it's a lot like the Soviet Union in that, except that they knew that they had fake news. Fake. It was lies that their lives were distorted by lies. But I wasn't there. I don't know. But my perception is that they were able to build their lives around that, even though knowing that all this is fake. And I think we've yet to come to that. I think we're still to the point of being idiots, of not knowing that this is fake. And I don't know, Chuck, I don't know if you're there. We have 2 minutes, and I'd welcome alternative viewpoint. I'm saying that it's possible that the Falcon Heights, the Minneapolis shooting is faked. And I'm also saying that it's possible that the Dallas police officer's shooting is faked. And I think we'd be morons and idiots to say that this is not a possibility. And I don't know. That's my view on it. I think becoming a healthy American citizen these days is to question a lot more than we do. And I don't know if you're there or if you're still calling Richard or.
I finally I had to give up on Richard. I left a message and I'm sorry we didn't get to him this month. As far as what you're saying, you know, I have a very strong distrust of just about everything we see in the news media, not only in this country but worldwide. But I don't think everything's fake. No, and I don't know. It's really hard for me to figure out what I really do think about this because. I think a number of these things really are false flag ops, but the sheer number of them, I just don't think it could work. So, I don't know. You know, and were these specific ones, are they false flags or are they, something, you know, that came about because of all the ones that are false flags, people start getting crazy and thinking, "Oh well, this is what I should do. This is how I should make a difference." And so I think a lot of times people really do get killed. I think the people that are running these ops, when they are ops, are even worse than you seem to be giving them credit for. I don't think that they, you know, pretend to kill people. I think they set something up to really happen. They send somebody out there. They convince somebody to do something stupid, and they give them all the possible, you know, everything they need, all the guns, all the ammunition, whatever, and then they incite them and they just take off and do something crazy.
And I'd like to say that our next guest is Frank Cordero, and we're hoping Richard is supposed to be at the Des Moines Catholic Worker with Frank. I'm hoping we'll be able to get Frank. Okay, see you later. Thank you.
Christian Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Enjoy your
extra big-ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another
extra big-ass fries?
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford
oh,
to make
no,
a purchase.
No, no.
I'm sorry you're having
come on.
Trouble.
My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I had a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Tonight's Dick Tracy Crime Stoppers Bulletin. When you see something, say something. Because of the murder of 9/11 Truth author Philip Marshall and his family, a special bulletin has been released. Be on the lookout for FBI license plates in your neighborhood. Because of the murder of investigative journalist Gary Webb. Because of the murder of investigative journalist Michael Hastings. Be on the lookout for FBI license plates in your neighborhood. Because of the murder of John F. Kennedy. Because of the murder of Robert F. Kennedy. Because of the murder of Martin Luther King Jr. Because of the murder of Senator Paul Wellstone. Be on the lookout for FBI license plates in your neighborhood. When you see something, say something. Because of the murder of men, women, and children in Waco, Texas. Be on the lookout for FBI license plates in your neighborhood. When you see something, say something. Because of the illegal torture, imprisonment, and false flag attacks designed to put the public in a state of panic in Guantanamo, Tucson, Aurora, Sandy Hook, and elsewhere around the country and globe, citizens are asked to be on the lookout for FBI license plates in your neighborhood, as well as a long black limousine with tiny American flags fluttering from the quarter panels. The persons inside the limousine are known to be liars and murderers. This has been your weekly Dick Tracy Crime Stoppers Bulletin. When you see something, gosh darn it, say something.
Our next guest of the evening is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero is a member of the Des Moines Catholic Worker. He's a former Catholic priest. He has spent over 6 years in federal prison for various actions in protest of the U.S. military machine. And Chuck visited with Frank earlier in the day, and we will get to hear that conversation right now.
Hey, Chuck.
Hello, Frank. Are you ready?
Well, yeah, I am.
Okay.
So, you know, I got a little preparation there. I wrote a letter to the editor, Des Moines Register, last week in response to, the tragedies, you know, in Dallas, Minnesota, where's the other place? Just a kind of constant barrage about what's going on. And the focus now on both police and Black Lives Matter. So I write this thing, and it never gets in the Register, so I might as well read it to you and then talk about it. So it says, Dorothy Day, the founder of the Catholic Worker, once said, our problems stem from our acceptance of this filthy, rotten system. One of those filthy, rotten systems in the U.S. is our so-called justice system. It's rigged against the poor and people of color. Over the last 5 decades, I have done over 5 years in jails and prisons in our criminal justice system. I have seen with my own eyes how over these last 40 years, how just being poor has systematically been criminalized, both in the state and federal government prison system. We are going broke, governments. And the only people making money are those for-profit prison and criminal justice industries. If any bad guys end up in jail, it's mostly by chance. And they are the little criminals in our midst. The biggest crimes are done by the rich and the powerful. They are never addressed. Often the crimes of the rich are even made legal. And if you do get caught up in this rigged system, you get the justice you can afford. Because in our rigged justice system, it has not only criminalized poverty, it also gives entitlement and deference to the wealthy. Our long-standing race issues in this country will never really be addressed as long as we keep systematically blessing the rich and criminalizing the poor. I wrote that last week to the Des Moines Register. I have yet to get any response. They're not very kindly to my point of view, at least in recent years. To see the two groups of people, being put out there, Black Lives.
I'm not sure if anybody can hear me, but I think we lost Chuck and we lost Frank. I show that I'm still on the air, and we lost Frank Cordero at the Des Moines Catholic Worker.
Well, hello, everyone. We are back on the air after having some problems. And we do apologize. This has been a difficult night technically, but sometimes that's just the way things go. So we're going to try to get back on schedule now. Right now we're supposed to be playing an interview with Jim Fetzer, but I'm not quite set up to play it yet. So Mike, can you take it for a bit?
Sure. We were listening to Frank Cordero at the Des Moines Catholic Worker. He was talking about Black Lives Matter, and he got cut off in the middle of his presentation. But he was talking about a letter to the editor that he sent to the Des Moines Register, and so far he has not seen that appear in the Des Moines Register, so that's where we left Frank. And earlier we were trying to get Richard Flamer. And we weren't able to reach him. And then we go back to the first part of the show, and we were not able to connect with the studio for about 10 minutes. So we're kind of hitting some bumps here, and we apologize, and we'll do the best we can. And whoever is sticking with us out there, what we have coming up is Jim Fetzer, however much we can get of his talk. And after the top of the hour, we'll have Phil Ferrugio, and then we will have Susan Lindauer, and in the last half hour we will have Thomas Wertmann. And as you know, Thomas Wertmann is the director of the Ohio MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. And following Thomas, we'll have the news from Moonrock Lake. So that's what we're hoping to get the rest of the show.
Well, here we come with about 5 minutes of the Jim Fetzer column. I think this is going to work, at least. We're going to find out.
Oh, where the license to run the club had expired in 2013... Well, there were supposed to have been over 300 patrons, but the legal occupancy was only 150. Well, there were 11 parking spots, hardly enough for a club that's supposed to have this kind of popularity, where if there had been 50 deaths and another 53 injured, there should have been abandoned automobiles all over the place, let's say 60 or 80 of them, but they aren't there. And a resident who lives in the vicinity contacted me to tell me the Pulse isn't even a gay nightclub. The FBI has picked up all of the emergency recordings from midnight to 3 a.m. Why? Obviously because there's something they have to conceal. This thing was a joke when you looked at some of the actors who were carrying, alleged wounded people toward the club in the first instance. And once they got out of camera range, or so they thought, they set him down and they all kind of pranced around, proud of themselves for their performance in accordance with a script. Some have observed, by the way, that the reason they died wasn't because they were gay, but because they were unarmed. We're in Southern California, a variation on the Gadsden flag of a snake coiled. Don't tread on me has been revised with a multicolored gay background and the new hashtag shoot back. So it may well be that there's an understanding from this event, although fabricated, that in fact being armed is an important element of the situation. One of the alleged deceased even said if only one of them had had a concealed carry, that it might have turned out differently. And indeed, of course, he's correct. But now it's been succeeded by a succession of additional fraudulent attacks. Take, for example, down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where you got a fellow by the name of Sterling who's taken to the deck, you know, taken down by the police, and then while they're sitting on him, one guy pulls out his revolver and shoots him. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Obviously, police brutality, and clearly intended to convey that impression. Well, Gary King, who resides in Louisiana, discovered this guy, Elton Sterling, was a sex offender, and therefore his records were public. He checked with the East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's Office and discovered, lo and behold, Elton Sterling is deceased, that he died on February 25th, 2014. And get this, NoDisInfo.com published an article about the use of a blood packet and included photographs where I have one I'm looking at here. It's about the size of a baggie full of blood. It hasn't even been exploded. I mean, this thing is just completely phony, completely fake. Then we have the event the following day up in Minnesota where this fellow by the name of Castile, African-American, was popular among his colleagues, was supposed to have been shot four times in his automobile when he reached to obtain his driver's license and registration in accordance with the officer's instruction. He'd already told the officer that he had a concealed carry permit. The officer claimed he shot him because he saw the gun. Well, that's absurd. What is this guy, a complete moron? He's being told he's got a concealed carry permit. Nevertheless, he goes ahead and shoots him anyway. But the girlfriend, who is videotaping the whole thing, Lavish Reynolds by name, seems to be entirely too calm. There's a child in the backseat who isn't yelling or screaming. Police procedure would have had her out on the ground handcuffed already, not allowed her to continue with this continuing, taping and broadcasting of the event. And then, of course, it's followed by Dallas, where we're told that five officers were dead in an ambush. Four were Dallas police officers. One was a transit officer. But it looked phony from the beginning. And the claim is made that this Dallas sniper wanted to kill white people. But why should he want to kill white people? If he wanted to kill cops, because cops are presumably engaged in all of this brutality and shooting blacks, that's one thing. Wanting to shoot white people, that doesn't make a lot of sense. And then we have memorials, of course, for the police. But remember, we had memorials in Sandy Hook for 20 children and 6 adults, none of whom died, because it was a FEMA drill. If you have any doubt about it, check out the Real Deal Special Must-See Sandy Hook Update. And if you want to go further, check out the Real Deal Must-See Special Boston Bombing Update. And you see that this fakery is a way of life for this government. I mean, it's completely obscene. And then they take him out with this robot. And I'm looking at this thing, and it's huge. It's a tracked vehicle. This guy wasn't a nitwit. He was a very accurate marksman. It was supposed to be loaded with C4. Well, he could have taken out the robot, shot its treads, disabled it relatively effortlessly. This, again, looks completely manufactured. Then we have a photograph that's supposed to be the deceased shooter. His body parts are all attached. If he's blown apart, you'd think there'd be big chunks of flesh missing and all that. There's even a piece of metal over part of his face. Looks completely contrived. Then we start looking at photographs of the police. It looks like the Keystone Cops. there's four of them, you know, sort of crouching like they aren't quite.
Thanks to Jim Fetcher, the New American Dream Radio Show, and second half coming up. We hope it'll be a little smoother.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Enjoy your
extra big ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another
extra big ass fries?
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make a purchase.
No, no.
I'm sorry you're
having
trouble.
Come on.
I'm
my kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, from Port Orange, Florida, with stops at World News Trust and Nation of Change and many other sites, here's Phil Ferruccio with It's the Umpire, Stupid.
Good evening, Working Stiffs. I'm back for another whatever. Banana America with a K. You know, a pragmatist is the guy in front of the firing squad who asks for a blindfold. Channel surfing last night, I caught two political events on C-SPAN. On one channel, I caught who I call the Mad Queen at her campaign event in New Hampshire. Standing behind her, looking like a total dope, was Feel the Burn, ready to tell the world how he was now endorsing her. Wonder how many of those nice, decent, young and old Bernie supporters felt like total dopes as well. After all, they know how much this woman is the antithesis of what they and their once fearless leader stand for. Well, let's say half of what he stands for. You see, Feel the Burn had to run as a Democrat because he did what all of the other Democratic politicians are doing, which is to remain silent on our obscene foreign policy. More damaging than that to anyone who calls him or herself progressive is to remain silent on the highest amount of military spending ever, which is happening under Mr. Obama. Now, surfing to the next C-SPAN channel, I caught a live event, campaign event, in Indiana for Il Duce with the orange comb-over. You check out old film clips of Mussolini giving speeches and then watch Donald. Amazing the similarities, except, of course, the original Duce did not continually repeat statements one after the other like ours does. our Duce likes to strut around taking the bit from Teddy Roosevelt and rearranging it to say, walk loudly and carry a big stick. His asshole wall and his Islam phobia, while promising to, quote, make America better, seem to carry the day. What the working stiff dopes who support him do not realize is the jobs he intends to make America better with will be more of the same dead-end ones with bum paychecks and most likely part-time with no benefits. So we have become a nation that is more laughable than any Woody Allen satire. With a compliant sellout media in place, 24/7, the suckers are fed this total, he said, she said garbage until the first week in November. Two super rich deviants, one a billionaire and one just a multi, are telling you to follow them to better days. The skeletons and dirty laundry they both carry with them will factor out, and any total disgust by the majority of the electorate, while a more enlightened minority will see through this garbage and either vote Green Party or Libertarian or some other third-party alternative. Yet, all those wonderful pragmatists out there will continually tell us, yours cannot win, so why waste a vote? Well, borrowing from P.T. Barnum, a sucker is born every 4 years. Thank you.
If you don't want a man unhappy politically, don't give him two sides to a question to worry about. Give him one. Better yet, give him none. Let him forget there is such a thing as war. If the government is inefficient, top-heavy, and tax-mad, better it be all those than that the people worry over it. Give the people contests they win by remembering the words to more popular songs, or the names of state capitals, or how much corn Iowa grew last year. Cram them full of non-combustible data. Chalk them so damn full of facts they feel stuffed, but absolutely brilliant with information. Then they'll feel their thinking. They'll get a sense of motion without moving, and they'll be happy, because facts of that sort don't change. Now, for your local Earth news, this is Chuck Gregory and Mike Polachek with a review of today's news from the eye of the hurricane and the eye of the blizzard.
From Andrei Volchek, I'm consecutively stuffing my ears with various airline earplugs in order not to hear the news blasted on the radio. I'm closing my eyes when the topic appears on TV, even on RT or Fresh TV. I skip newspaper headlines. I beg my friends, comrades, and relatives not to bring up the subject in front of me. I don't want to know anything about the U.S. presidential elections. It's not some sort of pose or rebellion. It is just an honest, powerful fear of having my brain damaged, my thoughts derailed from searching for alternative, humanistic, and political concepts. I see no need to know who, from all those already pre-approved by the regime and therefore allowed to compete, is going to get nominated by his or her political gang, and who will be finally mounting the saddle of that static wooden horse, which is, as a rule, galloping nowhere, inspired no one, and only jumps around, crushing with its heavy, murderous horseshoes, everything and everyone who dares to demand true freedom. Go and follow elections, even participate in them if you believe in Western-style democracy, multi-party democracy. Good for you or bad. Decades, in fact centuries, of the terrible stagnant political scene in North America and Europe has taught you nothing. Then go for it. Stick those pieces of marked paper into a carton box. The West created elections so that the elites from within the white race, as well as the white race in general, could justify the brutality with which they've been ruling the world. They need to feel they're fulfilling the wishes of the world, or at least of their own citizens. The moneyed and bellicose clans always get elected. There are ways to assure it. Or is this voting and following the elections just some expression of extreme intellectual laziness, of the need for enlightened entertainment of the lowest grade? Is gazing at television screens and listening to the debates really so much different from just statically watching baseball or football games? If Mr. Trump or Ms. Clinton wins, it would most likely make the same difference as if the ball flew in between three poles on the right or left side of the field. For some people, it matters. Tens of millions of fans in Europe, North and South America see their lives revolving around games, real games or video games. It's a matter of life and death. So are the elections, even if they are meaningless and change nothing. If I submerge myself into analyses of that entertainment and propaganda farce, the real meaning of what is happening in the world would escape me. It is simply designed that way. Concentrate on games, pop, and junk, as well as the elections, and forget about the big picture, what the empire is doing to our world. I always want to ask my readers in California, New York, or Texas, did something significant change in your life because G.W. Bush ascended to the White House, or maybe Obama? Apart from those irrational and religious whispers like, yes, we can! The regime has nothing to do with those elected leaders. It only produces them, as it produces ISIS or propaganda or Western supremacist feelings. They're simply screened by the system, then pitched against each other like fighting roosters, then paraded as some religious symbol with hardly any power. And so I beg to be spared this appalling circus. I work in the real world where millions are dying, actually right now at this very moment, in order to feed the West, to aliment its corporations, military, and citizens. And their screams and agony resonate in my ears every single day, every hour. I do not want victims to be muted or overpowered by some pre-chewed speeches and advertisement gigs. To understand the world, to grasp how it ticks, one has to go to the real countries, talk to real people, and discuss real issues. The answers are not in the pre-election debates. They're buried in Afghanistan, Bolivia, and Papua, Yemen, and so many devastated places. It's essential to understand how the empire, the monolith, really rules, loots, rapes, and controls. Colored the surface of the machine of violence, the mask that is glued over its control tower is irrelevant. Male or female face, who cares? Republican or Democrat, what difference does it make? I ignore, like others who do not believe in some primitive fairy tale. Like my comrades, I have to think about how to get us out of this filthy shit created by the empire. For that, I cannot waste time on the U.S. election.
That's all, folks. That's the news, and we are out of here. Good night and good luck. And so it goes. That's the way it is. Stay on the same page. Step up to the plate. Good to go. Take it to the next level. At the end of the day, bring something to the table. Have a good day. It is what it is. It's time to wake up. Your toast is ready. The bus is here. The world is on fire. Our next guest of the evening is Susan Lindauer. Susan Lindauer comes to us each month from Tacoma Park, Maryland. She's a radio host, an activist. Her book, Extreme Prejudice, which is about her work as a CIA asset at the time of 9/11, is now being made into a movie. And Chuck will get Susan on the line right about now.
Good evening. Are we on the air?
Yes, we are, Susan. Welcome to the show.
I have some news for everyone. We are the great we. We are about to unload a boatload of trouble on Hillary Clinton, I suspect. We have. I am part of a team that has been recovering stolen federal funds. And this is going to surprise a lot of people to know that I've been doing this. Some of you will already know about this. We've been recovering stolen federal funds, and it was offered to me as a way to recover from my own catastrophic collision with the Bush administration. We recovered $87 billion. $87 billion. And the first eight seizures were done were small. They those were the 7 billion. But realize that even the 7 billion exceeded the largest other recovery ever in history, which was by Brad Birkenfeld. And the $80 billion, which we recovered last October, was the old CIA drug money from MENA, Arkansas, from Operation Red Rock and Red Rock Dragon. That Red Rock Dragon was the opium and cocaine that was transported by our own mutual friend Gene Chip Tatum. Well, we found out that when the money came into Fort MacDill, the $80 billion arrived in Fort MacDill. My team is the, I have to insist on this. My team are the ones who developed all the intelligence and tracked it down and hunted it out. And the reason that they put me on it was that the man who has it is a federal inmate. And he is, in fact, a spy. My life is always a spy. One more spy novel. But he is a true Chinese agent. And, of course, you will all remember that I was accused of being an Iraqi agent, which I strenuously denied. But he is, in fact, a true, authentic Chinese agent who boldly declares his intentions to pass off monies to China and to his own Chinese government peoples. And he has very, very, very high-ranking contacts in China involved in the Chinese government cabinet. So that was why they gave it to me. This qualifies for something called whistleblower rewards. And of course, when Obama passed this law, everyone thought that it was a big joke, that whistleblowers, that he would, you know, Obama has prosecuted more whistleblowers other than Hillary Clinton. Though she's not a whistleblower, but she certainly mishandled national security intelligence. And he has prosecuted people for much less. But what happened, we have found out, was that we had been notifying, because I did not trust the FBI, I had to notify the FBI for my own legal protection. You are required to notify the police if you know of a crime, and this is very serious crimes, and we were documenting bank fraud, wire fraud, securities fraud, money laundering. We could have gone to prison if we did not notify the police, and it was on the advice of attorneys that we did. But we also, because I did not trust the FBI, I also notified the Secret Service via the Clinton Foundation. And this will surprise a lot of you. But you will also remember that I hate the Bush people. And at the time, it looked like it would be Bush versus Clinton. Well, it turns out, and of course, this was before Donald Trump got involved. There was no Donald Trump on the horizon, and it really did look like it would be a Bush-Clinton race. And to be perfectly honest with you, I've said it even on this show, I would take 5 Clintons before I would take 1 Bush. Well, little did we ever suspect that when the money arrived, the $80 billion arrived, the Clinton Foundation jumped in and grabbed our reward. Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation had zero rights. They had no rights of any kind. All they did was receive our debriefing papers. But we told the Secret Service, not even really the Clinton Foundation, but the Secret Service, we had notified them that we were filing for whistleblower rewards, and we wanted them to be aware in case they got contacted by the Treasury Department, which handles these things. And lo and behold, when the money arrived, they jumped in and grabbed the rewards for themselves. Now, what they did with the rewards, and you all know that I want you to know, that I have tremendous admiration and love of Chip Tatum, But what they did, you will also remember that Chip Tatum had been threatening the Clinton Foundation to reveal the transcripts and wiretaps that he'd made of Bill Clinton receiving cash payoffs from MENA, the MENA, Arkansas, the cocaine and heroin shipments in MENA, Arkansas. And so what they did was they took this money and they took my rewards money, which they had zero right to take, and they gave at least $20 million, possibly more, to Chip Tatum, which, because Hillary Clinton had no right to take the money at all, and because Chip Tatum had nothing to do, love him dearly, but he had no connection to the recovery. He had no right to receive it, though I love him. This is no argument against him. But Hillary Clinton has used federal monies, newly recovered stolen federal monies that were just coming back into the federal treasury, and she siphoned money off for her campaign, because paying Chip Tatum, who had no right to the rewards in his own, he had no rights, love him, but he had no rights to the rewards, he received money on behalf to get him to be quiet and to get him to go away. And what is turning out is that Hillary Clinton used illegally gotten, newly recovered, stolen federal funds that she had no right to take for him to pay him off. And this is going to be, I'm telling you first, because I want you to hear it from me, Hillary Clinton used the U.S. Treasury as her private bank. Now, not all of you will like my politics, and I love all of you, and I think we all respect each other, but we don't always agree on every single issue. I'm sure that there are things that I'm much more liberal on than you, and vice versa, than some of my audience. And you may not understand why I felt so strongly against, Bush. I hated Bush, and I know that a lot of you hate Clinton equally. I did believe, and I was blown away to have been wrong, that the one thing that I did think Hillary Clinton would do was to protect women's rights to payment for our work. And I am going to make a confessional in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be confessing that I, like a lot of women, was fooled by that one aspect of Hillary Clinton. I knew she's a warmonger. I know she's a Zionist. I know all these other things. But I really wanted to make, when I did this, it was with the full intention and expectation that I was protecting my ability and my right to get paid for this. This was not a freebie for the federal government. This was to rebuild my life after my debacle with the Bush administration, my catastrophic nightmare with the Bush administration. And now, lo and behold, Hillary has jumped in and grabbed what was mine. And we are going to be looking at, and I do not have answers yet, but we're going to be raising questions as to who authorized her to do this. Did someone in the White House authorize her to do this? Did she take, how much money did the Clinton Foundation itself get paid from my rewards, which she had no right to take? And did Hillary Clinton, did she give money to other Democrats? And specifically, I'm going to be looking at other Democrats, women Senate candidates in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Nevada, and North Carolina. Because if any of those women received money, my money, and the word is my money, it's mine. I am the one who earned it. It's when I say my team's money. That what they did was they stole from a woman. They literally stole from a woman, a very poor, very humble, very hardworking woman who has been very creative in trying to save my life and trying to get back, bootstrap myself back up. And you got to admit, this is pretty creative stuff. But this is that when you're in the kind of desperate straits that I've been pushed into, you know, I was succeeding, and let me tell you, this was the ninth seizure that we achieved. Nine so far, and I haven't even told you about the tenth one. The tenth one is a doozy, but I'm not going to tell. I'm going to save that for later on, because that also raises a whole new can of worms for the Democrats. So, in the next few weeks, I hope you guys will be watching. This will probably come out after the convention. I'm toying with the time. It'll either be right before the convention or right afterwards. I don't want my story to be swallowed by the convention news. So it may be that it's just because I am small, it may be best to wait until Hillary's out there telling everybody, see how great we are for women, and then come back and say, not so fast, girlfriend. You stole from a woman. You have betrayed your promises to women voters to make sure that women are paid for our work. I hope that all of you will be on my side when that day comes, because I hope you will understand this. We chose the Secret Service for good reason. We had to, I believe, after what I had suffered through the FBI and the Justice Department, I truly believed, and I believe it today, that I needed to protect myself and cover my behind by having a second law enforcement agency that was aware of what I was doing and could not deny it. I felt for my own protection it was necessary. And we are dealing with a lot of stolen Treasury notes, and it is the job of the Secret Service to track stolen Treasury notes and stolen federal accounts. And that is what we were doing. We were hunting out stolen monies, and that is the job of the Secret Service. So there's a reason why we did it. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you next month.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message. Is your data safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? We'll squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP-proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, And now, some letters we have received during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph. From Father Email at the front bar of the sidetrack tap, we hear, Father Carl Cabot, 82, early in the morning on July 4th, 2016, splashed red paint on the doors of the administration building at the National Security Campus in Kansas City, Missouri. The facility makes, orders, and assembles 85% of the non-nuclear parts for U.S. nuclear weapons. Asked why he defaced the doors, Cabot replied, "That place is bloody, and it was red paint, bright red paint." Cabot was quickly detained by security guards and then placed in custody by police, who estimated that he had done about $600 worth of damage with the oil-based paint. Released before noon, Cabot was ordered to appear in courtroom C of the Kansas City, Missouri Municipal Court at 9 a.m. on Monday, August 15th, for two ordinance violations, trespassing after earlier being told not to return, and knowingly doing damage there. Cabot, a priest in the Oblates of Mary Immaculate, lives at the OMI Retirement Center in Belleville, Illinois, where he moved after many years of living at the Catholic worker home named for him in St. Louis. Following missionary work in the Philippines and Brazil, Cabot has devoted much of his life to resisting nuclear weapons. He participated in the first Plowshares action in 1980 and the first major resistance against Minuteman II missiles in Missouri in 1984. For the latter, he received a sentence of 18 years in prison and served 12 years. His action after 8 a.m. on July 4th capped a string of civil resistance actions at the nuclear weapons parts plant during its construction and after it opened in 2014. The NSC, which the federal government says costs $900 million a year to operate, produces most of the non-nuclear parts for the U.S. nuclear arsenal, including fuses, wires, radar, security devices, containers for tritium, and the bomb trigger mechanism. For more information about Carl Cabot, go to a 2009 story in the New York Times entitled, "As Battlefields Shift, Old Warrior for Peace Pursues the Same Enemy." Some letters we have received during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph. Our next guest of the evening is Thomas Wertmann. Thomas Wertmann comes to us each month from Cleveland. Thomas is the director of the Ohio MUFON Network, the Mutual UFO Network. And Chuck will be visiting with Thomas right about now.
Hello?
Hello, Thomas. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Great. Well, this month, something I want to talk about is we recently had a conference, and it's one of the things that the conference we decided to do was go back and research an old case in the 1970s. In this case, this case is called the Coin Encounter, which involved a Army Reserve helicopter over Mansfield, Ohio area in 1973. And in the helicopter, what happened is several crewmen, there's actually four crewmen on board, were on board this helicopter heading back from Columbus, which is the state capital of Ohio, to Cleveland, about 90 miles away. And on their way back, they saw some lights off in the distance. The lights were initially seen out the left side of the helicopter and disappeared behind them. And then about 45 seconds later, the lights reappeared on the right side of the helicopter, and the lights appeared to be pacing the helicopter, and then they veered directly at the helicopter. Now, picture being in this helicopter and seeing this object come at you at an estimated speed of roughly 600 miles per hour and your own same altitude, which is only about 2,500 feet above sea level. Well, the crew in this case put the helicopter into an immediate dive to get below this object. And as they did, the object kept closing. They tried to contact the closest airport, which was Mansfield, about 7 miles away, received an initial contact, and then next thing you know, their radio goes completely silent. They can hear it being keyed up like it's trying to transmit, but they're unable to reach any local airports in the region. They put the object into a, or the helicopter into a deeper descent, of which the lowest point that they note is only about 600 feet off the ground. And this object, whatever it was, positioned itself directly above the helicopter and in front of it. Now, I lived in that area back in the 1970s, and this story really fascinates me. So when we decided to reopen the case, we ran ads in local newspapers to see if there were any local witnesses from the time. And we had several witnesses respond to the ads, but it seemed like some of them might have been doing little copycat stories because the locales we're giving it wasn't close enough. Well, lo and behold, on the day of the conference, I'm talking to a local fireman, and he goes, oh, I remember seeing that back in 1973. He told me where he was, and he was exactly in the region where they should have been sighting it. He goes, yeah, there's 20-some of us out there doing things we should have been doing as kids, most likely drinking and other stuff. But he says, we all saw it exactly where it was at, and he gave me the full description, and it was matching consistent with the story. Next thing you know, I find out, same day, one of my good friends said he was at a different region, saw the same object, and the stories aligned again. But then I kept digging deeper and deeper. Well, several years ago, I had one of the crewmen come up to me at a talk I was giving. The crewman came up, introduced himself, and I knew his name right away. And when I questioned him about the case, he says, yeah, he says, we had issues with that helicopter after that thing came over us. He said the helicopter became what he termed as a hangar queen, and there's always ongoing mechanical issues. Well, I asked him if the military minded him talking about the event, and he says only as long as he states exactly what happened. Did the object approach him at extremely high rate of speed and positioned above us? Well, after that object had positioned above him, the next thing they note is no turbulence. Everybody's focused on that object. But they said that they became kind of extremely calm. The gentleman I talked to, he said that he felt very calm, even though this thing is very, very close to him. Well, their altitude increased from about 600 feet off the ground to, in this case, about 2,800 feet off the ground. The captain had the helicopter still in the descent, yet for some reason, they went up over 2,000 feet. Well, in my pursuit of digging more into the story, I said, you know, I wonder if there's more to it. Let's see if we can track down some more of the crewmen, because when I talked to, he told me a few things, but he seemed like that he didn't want to talk about it a whole lot. And I thought, well, let's see if the others will. Well, I found out the crew commanders passed away. But what got interesting is when I tracked down one of the names, he only lived about 5 minutes from one of my good friends. So I asked one of my friends, I said, you know, I got a guy that may be the dude in this helicopter. I said, would you take him over and check this out for me and see if this is the guy? So the address is about 5 minutes from your house. He calls me up and says, jackpot, you got it. Was able to sit down with one of the crewmen for 3 hours one night and another couple hours on the phone, and I walked him through all the events in a very graphic PowerPoint presentation I put together on the event. These graphics were extremely detailed, and he was confirming everything along the way of all my research had proved. And a few things that came up that weren't, I noticed, in any of the books out there, any of the other research anybody brought up. But he said that this thing was close enough, when it came in front of him, he was concerned it was going to hit the helicopter blades that was that close. Well, they went up again. Like I mentioned, they went up a couple thousand feet. The object all had this light that came on. Some of the crewmen said it was green. Other ones said it was white. But nonetheless, it lit up the entire inside of this helicopter. The light was on for about 10 seconds, went off, and then this object, which had a bright red light in the front of it, went to the west and then gradually turned towards the northwest and disappeared. Well, he confirmed all the motions of the object. But what was interesting is we're talking, I had the graphics showing that this object, looking out the window of the helicopter, I had all the graphics there. When the object was coming at the helicopter, his face, the look on it was priceless. He goes, oh my good, that's it.
He says, you've duplicated everything except the size of the object was a little bit bigger, but he says, that's it. And in some of my research, I thought the object had to be turned on a specific angle because of the way I thought it approached the helicopter. I positioned it at an angle that the object that normally most people draw it in the books or any research you find on this, which was totally different from what I calculated. And when we talked, he says, well, if you turn this object on a different angle and you had it this size, that would be it. And everything he told me matched all my calculations, which I never mentioned it to him. And during a conversation, I said, you know, does the military mind you talking about this? And he gave me the same answer the other crewman did. As long as I state all the events of the case exactly the way they happened, basically word for word with no conjecture, no saying it's an alien craft, but that they had an object position themselves above them at a very close proximity, and they went up about 2,000 feet in altitude as it was there. Well, he said that they had lost contact with Mansfield. They were never able to regain contact with the airport, which is only 7 miles away. The captain said he'd made contact with the airport about 45 miles away, but he told me when they landed, they'd never had permission to land because they were never able to contact Cleveland. On the way in with the radio, they sat down and they were approached by personnel saying, what aircraft just landed? Because they never had permission.
This is a fascinating story, but we're going to have to cut it at this point. But thank you. I hope you'll tell us more. It's just amazing what your investigation is turning up. Thanks again for being with us, and we'll talk to you next month.
Okay, sounds great. We'll talk to you then.
All right.
Bye.
Well, it's been another long week in Moonrock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. I walked away, going nowhere, just to be gone. Raindrops like jumpers splatter in the sidewalk. I hold it a foot in midair, thinking of my light jacket in the house, and set my foot down. Laying out one step atop the other, I swung my arms, put my hands in my pockets, then placed my hands behind my head, and swung them again, looked around. I must have passed over streets and highways, past houses and children in the yard in front of hardware store windows and floral shops, and smelled the hamburgers at the restaurant, the donuts on the corner, and the soap flakes inside the laundry, because I came to the edge. The sidewalk stopped at the woods. The border of the woods was littered with one wrapper, a bottle, half of a rake with a splintered end, and an upside-down tricycle. The off-road rider buried long ago headfirst in the pine needles, corn chaff, and loam. Coming face on to a thick young tree, I reached and touched it, patted it, baked one way that went around it, and I was gone. With my hands and feet, I made my way through the branches, trees, and dead logs. Stepped over a stream and sank for a moment in the mud on the other side. I kept going because my heart pounded. I heard my breathing and the crunching and felt the sting of the branches on my cheeks, and I kept going. I plucked the stickers from my shirt, then just left them and kept going. I held my breath and listened. In the distance, crows cawed, excited beyond belief, perhaps at a piece of loose something or other blown into their path. Squeaky birds shot here and there. High above everything, a hawk circled, knowing more than any below could imagine. I pulled myself up a hill by gripping the young trees and going to my knees. Thought crossed my mind that I was lost and would never get back. The grin spread across my face like a flame starting in the middle of a crumpled newspaper. I walked on, stepping high, sit on a down tree, then side-saddle over it. I walked on, breathing deep, looking up, around, everywhere, trying to record everything so I might enjoy it forever, because I'd never be allowed to return if I ever left. Ahead, way up on the next hillside, I spotted something bright reflecting from the sun, now peeking over the far ridge. I stopped and stared. It glittered and wavered like someone up there with a piece of glass signaling to me. I felt the cold in the back of my neck from my sweat and a new soft breeze. I raised on my tiptoes and I spied. Caught fluttering in one of the Christmas trees was a balloon, a silver Mylar balloon. I walked over, strained to reach up and pull it from the branches of pine. It was a happy birthday balloon, complete with string. Must have come from town, or maybe another state. Maybe gone up thousands of feet before it drifted down to this outpost. Maybe it was a child's first birthday balloon. Or maybe from the last party of an older person. Crap! I jerked my head at the new sound. A branch breaking, followed by walking noises. I bent forward, crouched, trying to find the source of the crunch, crunch, crunch. It seemed to circle me. Hey, I shouted. Hello? The cruncher was circling me. Hello? The walking stopped short. The cruncher grunted. The whatever it was grunted or growled or mumbled. It was not a deer. My mind frantically flipped the pages of the Animals of North America Illustrated second edition that I used to read to the kids. Mountain lion. Flip. Bear. There are no bears here. This thing was walking on two legs. Sounded like a man. Flip, 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 flip. I backed up one step, then two, trying to be careful not to fall down the little hill. The little hill? Where? Where was I? What had I done? I shivered. I clenched my jaw against the chattering of my teeth. It was angry. A train approaching an intersection with a car taking its time crossing the tracks, and then it stomped on the ground. 1 foot, 2 feet, stomp, stomp. I ran. I charged down the hill, my arms flopping. I tripped. In slow motion, I flew down the hill. I spied a tree as my destiny. A strong tree. I will die here. There's a good spot. Far as I can go. Any farther is way too far. A good tree to die against. Standing beside the silver Mylar balloon was a huge bear on two legs. I shot to stand and tilted my head and opened my eyes and my mouth. I watched and saw, or I imagined, as the bear untied the balloon from where I'd put it and moved it, then retied it. I watched. The creature, the figure, finished with its task, looked back at me over its shoulder. Over those hundreds, millions of yards of bushes and shrubs and pine needles, it made eye contact with me. It communicated to me. It sent me a message. Do not move this again, fuck nuts! It turned, disappeared into the woods. I stomped my shoes on the back porch. I swept my hand down my pants and in a flurry down the front of my shirt. I picked a sticker from my hair and concealed it in my hand. I plucked a leaf from my hair and palmed it. I passed through the kitchen and nicked a cauliflower clump from a tray, stuck in some dip, and said, "Hi, how are you? Where have you been?" I rubbed the children's heads as they sat in front of the television. "What are you watching?" "Nothing," they both said, looking down at their toys. "Mom's watching the news." "Oh," I said, looked up at the screen. The man and woman newscasters were smiling, chuckling, clacking their note cards on the desk. "And I suppose you also believe in Bigfoot," one said to the other, and they both giggled. The announcers laughed and carried on as I stared at the screens. Dad, where did you go? Dad? Dad? And that's the news from Moon Rock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs. All the journalists and Democrats are cowards. And all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. No hidden black military budget. No UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We're not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That is our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream. We are the New American Dream radio show. And we thank you for joining us tonight. We hope you'll be back next Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. and every Thursday. And usually things are a lot smoother technically. We apologize for our mistakes. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thanks to our guests, Frank, Phil, Tom, Susan, Jim, and Richard. He tried to contact us, or he did contact us and said our connection just didn't work. But we're going to try it again next month. And that's the good thing about this. We can always come back next week. And we appreciate you being here. Show archives are available at newdream.us. And as Chuck said, always, we apologize for our mistakes. And we are planning right now to make fewer mistakes next week. I would like to say, if you'd like to send a donation to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, that's Frank Cordero, or get on the mailing list for their newspaper via Potches, checks can be made out to the Berrigan Catholic Worker House. Send donation and mailing editions. The newspaper is free, but if you want to send a donation or ask to be put on the newspaper mailing list, go to Phil Berrigan Catholic Worker House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 503. I have just a partial zip code here, 5031. That can't be correct. And I also want to mention that this Frank didn't. It wasn't Frank's idea to do this. I wanted to put something out there, so I asked him how people could contact him. Anyway, so good night to my friends Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there, and good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksprung. Good night, Mohammed Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious that you don't think it hard, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears, upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener support.